The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Do you know how much stuff, like college sports, with the advent of the transfer portal and with players sticking around because of name, image, likeness, the amount of money they're going to make? This is the busiest time of year. And usually it's, we're talking about bowl games. The bowl games, no offense to those of you that are fans of bowl games, just because that's what you've grown up watching. Most of these bowl games don't mean much, and the very good players aren't playing in them. And so it's like transitioning away from bowls, and the letter of intent day is Wednesday. But beyond that, like, there are colleges making moves all over the place. U of A brought in a Georgia defensive lineman and an Oregon linebacker. Like, Arizona State's bringing in guys from colleges that would never give them a sniff with what's going on with NIL. And there's just a lot going on, and John Wilner is going to be with us, Wilner Hotline. We're also going to talk about U of A, ASU basketball, because that is starting to – I watched Tennessee, U of A on Saturday. Yesterday, I sat here in my man cave and took in USD and ASU, and this is – building up to be a titanic matchup on New Year's Eve day, where the Wildcats will be in Tempe against Sun Devils. We'll talk to John about that a little bit. Bo Nix coming back to Oregon, Michael Penix to Washington, Caleb Williams, Deion Sanders in the conference. I mean, there's just a bleep load, thank you, a bleep load of stuff that is going on. So we'll get into that with John and other things as well. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Start banking better and getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join the winning team at desertfinancial.com. A new read. Yeah. Appreciate their support. All right. So we're 6 days away from Christmas. Those of you celebrating Hanukkah, we wish you during this season the best, and to enjoy it in whatever your faiths may be, to enjoy them. And with your family and your friends and getting away. And some of you are taking this in as you're driving to wherever your destination may be. Be safe out there and be smart as well. I have had a week. Like last week, Iron Man had to put some shows together because I tried every single concoction that I've been given over the years, recipes, to keep this voice going. And the other, it was like a week, I was telling Iron Man this off the air. A week ago today was, and then 6 days ago was, and today it's this. So, and some of you would rather it be, but we're back. And had a lot of time because what hit me, man, did it hit. It hit. It was no fun. A lot of sleep, which was good. A lot of time to reflect on the year, which is good. I always think it's good to reflect. Spent some time over the weekend doing some community service because I felt well enough. Yesterday, I went to the Salvation Army with my son and a couple of his buddies, and we sorted toys for Christmas angels. We will do that again on Wednesday. Very much looking forward to that. Took in basketball, as I said yesterday. Let me think. Saw the Steven Spielberg movie on Friday night. It's very good, very, very, very good. But beyond that, you know, I watched the 49ers in Seattle on Thursday night. I'm in here in my man cave. I have yesterday's Cardinals game here. I don't think I'm going to watch it. When I prep to do a show, okay, I want to always try to go off of what people in my circles are talking about. I have a pretty diverse group of circles, in I believe. If all you do is hang around people that say, I watch football, football good, that's it, that's not living life. If I just hung around with a bunch of people that watch golf, wouldn't be bad, but it wouldn't be the best. If I hung around people, all I did is like to talk about sports all day long, it'd be pretty boring. And you're like, well, you do sports for a living. You know, I do people. We do people. So I don't care about what happened to the Cardinals yesterday. I've seen this bleep show all year. And there comes a point where I just kind of tilt my head and say, you know what? I am too well to attend. I am not going to sit here in December when they can't figure it out with either hand on either side of their ass and what they're going to do here in the offseason. Their offseason started about 3-4 weeks ago. And then I'll have people that'll say, oh, well, you know, Kyler's going to be back next year. Really? So you're a doctor. I don't know. I've had double knee replacement. I've had 3 ACLs. Wife's had 20 ACLs. Son's had a PCL. I'm kind of no knees. Anybody who says, oh, yeah, 100%, sure. I don't need fandom. Okay, I don't need fandom. And there's people that write on the fandom stuff. That's their business model. They want to write everything is great, and this is all the excitement, and it's so interesting. It's a big soap opera. That's great. That's their business model. It's not mine, thank God, because it's not, it just isn't interesting at this point. What's interesting is Devin tonight against the Lakers. Devin Booker tonight against the Lakers is interesting. And you're going to say, well, you're a hypocrite. You say the regular season doesn't matter. There's some games, like when the Suns played the other night against New Orleans, I watched. If you don't watch Pel's Suns, then you haven't been paying attention. I will watch tonight simply because it's LeBron without Anthony Davis, which is like a, if you're a Laker fan, you know where I'm going with this. Like Anthony Davis has played how many games exactly for the Lakers and cashing gobs of checks, just gobs of money that he's bringing in. And he's always hurt. And the Lakers are just kind of like, yeah, we're going to put LeBron on the air. And I think Charles said it best the other night. We have to show another Lakers game because they stink, but they have LeBron. And it's the LA market. Like, yeah, he gets kind of tired, but nah, I think tonight I'll watch that. Rams, Packers, not really. Lakers, Suns, yeah, I'm about that. I'm going to go out and watch some high school basketball today. There's a couple players that are going to play in the NBA at some point in time. So I will be at the Visit Mesa. If you claim that you're a fan of basketball, a hoopaholic, I like to call it, one of the things we're going to expand on in 2023 on this platform, on this company, is I'm going to add a show that is a basketball-centric show, much like we've done with football, pro, college, and high school. Already have it put together. Already have people who want to sponsor it. They're lined up. We're going to do it. So get used to it. If you're not one that is into the high school world and basketball like you weren't in football, what's coming? There's just players that you can see it now, and the NBA is not that far away for them. And so we need to do those stories. We need to tell them right. I'm going to go out today and watch Todd Heap's kid play. Remember Todd, of course, Arizona State, Baltimore Ravens. Son is over at Red Mountain. Cam Johnson's little brother is up at Pinnacle. Monty Williams' son is at Scottsdale Christian. You go watch Perry play, and it's like a freaking all-star team from across the country. They will pack gyms. They will have people wait because the hoop fan knows. So I'll be doing some of that today. Watch a lot of the World Cup over the weekend. It was a bad weekend. If you are one of those that hates soccer, that's, you know, everybody's got their different tastes. I'm not going to sit here and be critical of you, but it was a bad day for you. If you're one of those that says soccer is boring, it's a bad day. Well, they decided on penalty kicks. Yeah. If you didn't watch the whole thing, yesterday was gripping. Like, it was cool here in our household. We were up very early, but by 7, TV's on, it's loud, we're into it, kids start rolling out, kids start rolling in, they start yelling, they start cheering. There's highs, there's lows, there's stuff on social that we're checking. Andres Cantor, the go guy, you know, we've done bits around him for 30 plus years, and it was fun to watch him. He actually bawled his eyes out at the end, and to see Messi finally get his redemption, and Mbappe with his 3 goals, and just, oh, he's so good. He's so good. So I was totally into the World Cup this weekend. Completely, totally into World. That was the highlight of the weekend in the sports world. And I think a lot of the stuff on the college platform. What else? I watched Arizona State yesterday. They have USF. This is a trap game for Bobby this Wednesday. So the Sun Devils are 11-1, and I watched U of A and love what's going on there as well. Wonder about the guard play. You know, like, remember last year, we'll talk to Wilner about this in a couple minutes. Remember last year when Arizona was just rolling through the regular season And then they ended up playing in March Madness. And what happened? Guard play took over. And what happened? As good as Mathurin was last year, the rest of the team was not. And they fell apart. So what would it be? It would be a week from this Saturday. We'll be ASU U of A. And we will be there for that. But I think ASU's in a trap game situation on Wednesday night. USF's good. They're 9-3. You're on the road. You're a week, less than a week from Christmas. It's a Wednesday night in San Francisco. It's not going to be a packed house in all likelihood. This will be a tough game for Bobby's team, in my opinion. And I'm not going to be one of those guys that sits there and says, see, told you so. Or if they lose, like, okay, bring it on. But it's just a gut hunch when you look at scheduling and holidays and all that stuff. For a team like Bobby's, I think they're going to be, it's kind of like Colorado. You know, they were able to rally and win that game. But I have a feeling that they're going to be in for a tough one on Wednesday night. And watching Arizona's fun. They are a fun team to watch. I'm not going to get all caught up in how Sean Miller got off and the rest of the program got thrown down. That stuff's over with. Like, when the NCAA rules on Arizona State football, we will analyze, we will talk about it. There'll be people that say, oh, you're hating on us, you're dogging. But no, it's just part of the drill. You can't just escape it and social media it away and say, look at how great everything is, Pitchfork's up. Nope, that's not happening here. It's not. So I feel like you've got to give it its due when it comes. You've got to analyze it, understand how did we get here. It's like Thursday night, Al Michaels said on the air, Arizona State didn't give Brock Purdy a sniff. Said it on the air. And of course, I put it on social. And of course, there's people, oh, you're hating. No, it was fact. They didn't. So then I went and found Donnie Yantis, who was the RC at the time. And he told me what actually happened and why he didn't get a sniff. If you call a sniff saying we're going to give you a PWO, and oh, by the way, he just set every record at Iowa State. And oh, by the way, he's starting the NFL. And oh, by the way, they never got him on campus. And I'm just supposed to forget that happened? No, that's not how it goes. It's not how this works. At some point, you move on, you turn the page. I can't do that on the football program. U of A thing's been going on forever. This has not been going on long, the NCAA investigation at ASU. Just so we're really clear about that. You want it to go away if you're a fan. I'm not. So I don't sit there intentionally and say, ooh, let's get into it. It's like, no, you get it right down the middle. Not like my golf shot. So. All right, Wilner is next. And then I believe we're going to bring Jody Jackson back from a deep dive I did with Jody last month in one of these media podcasts, because she's really interesting on that. Later today, I'm doing a sit-down NPR called. NPR wants Paula Bovin, wants the professor, and I together for an hour. And I'm very much looking forward to this. I get to see the professor, and they want us to go through what happened this year in Arizona sports. And very nice of them to call and ask. NPR, one of the top rated stations in town outside of Christmas music. They are the top rated station in town. So we'll be doing that later today. All right, Wilner's next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, it is John Wilner time. This is a Christmas present. This is actually the last time John and I are going to talk. I didn't even tell him this off the air for the rest of 2022. It's not that I don't like you. I like you. I just don't want to see you until
2022. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Many people feel that way.
All right, so if I would have told you mid-November, so guess what? Next year, Penix Jr. is going to come back. Bo Nix is going to come back. Caleb Williams is going to come back. You would have believed me on Caleb Williams, right? But are we sitting here today saying, my goodness, this is kind of a Christmas present for Pac-12 fans next year?
Yeah, it's kind of the start of the 2023 season right now with these decisions, right? We saw what impact the new quarterbacks made this past year, right? I mean, those guys elevated the entire conference, made the Pac-12 relevant. And frankly, there's no reason to think that's not going to happen again. And now there's a huge amount of momentum, right? So much of what happens in the fall is the result of the off-season machinery of college football with the hype. Mm-hmm. Pac-12 is going to enter the, you know, August, September window with a ton of hype, a bunch of teams in the top 10, top 15 that will be, you know, something we haven't seen in many years with the preseason spotlight. And that's only a good thing for the conference.
Well, and add to that, John, all the preseason magazines, even if people still now access them online, every last one of them is going to have Deion on the cover. Somewhere Deion and the Heisman Trophy winner are going to be on the cover. And there is nothing wrong with that at all. And I feel like the Deion factor may be even bigger than what the conference could have imagined the day that he was hired.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is a huge story. It's a little bit like Lincoln Riley, right? At USC last year, not as accomplished on the field, but certainly just generates a ton of attention and publicity for the Pac-12. Look, the other thing is, between Deion, the quarterbacks, the teams that should be good, all that will impact the decisions that are made with scheduling by ESPN and Fox, right? A lot of what we see during the season in terms of TV is based on decisions they make in the offseason with their broadcast windows, the games they want. And the more hype you've got, the more big name quarterbacks and coaches you've got, the better chance you're going to get some great TV windows.
Yeah. And so to pull the curtain back for John and myself on this one, we both would think, correct me if I'm wrong, Colorado will play USC. It'll be in prime time. It'll be a November rating sweeps period because Deion versus Lincoln in prime time during sweeps in November, where advertisers charge the highest rates. The risky run is Colorado not going to be any good by that point. But Deion against USC, that's got to be primetime November if we're just playing the schedule out.
You know, I would think so. And we saw Pac-12 had a ton of meaningful games this November. It's interesting. The conference office likes to balance out the schedule, right? They want meaningful conference games in September, October, and November. But it's going to be tough to avoid a game like that. Oregon, Washington is typically in November, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see how well they do with some of that balance.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. If I would have told you, too, that U of A would say, yeah, we flipped a lineman from Alabama, we flipped a defensive lineman from Georgia, we flipped a linebacker from Oregon, even a year ago. John, this stuff has never happened. This is transformational college football, transfer portal stuff, right?
It is. It is hard to keep track of everything. And to some extent, I'm kind of monitoring, but not digging into all of it because it's going to change so much, right? The transfer window goes until the middle of January. So let's see what happens. There's probably going to be another wave after these bowl games of kids leaving. And you never know, right? I mean, it's hard to imagine that, you know, the real good players at some of those SEC schools are leaving. But certainly it helps your depth, and Arizona's losing some big players, you know, some real important players for them as well. So it's just this constant turnover, and then you've got to add the recruiting window, which we're coming up on here this week, early signing, and it's hard to follow, and rosters are getting overhauled completely. You could see, you know, 20, 30 players from the portal on some of these teams. Colorado's going to probably have 40 new players next season. But certainly Arizona and ASU are doing, they're being aggressive in the portal, and they're addressing what they perceive right now as areas of need.
Okay, so with the letter of intent day coming up on Wednesday, and this may be too out front, I know Brandon Huffman does stuff for you for the site, Wilner Hotline, follow John's content. Of course, it's on our website, but John does great content. Follow him over on the Twitter side as well. And he does the weekly Wilner Canzano podcast. And that's what I call it, not Canzano Wilner.
Appreciate that.
Yes, of course. You pay me later. So how is the conference looking on 2 days before LOI? Or is it, Brad, this is a whole new ballgame. We're not even going to evaluate this stuff because, as you said, there's so many windows still to be determined.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's still a lot to be. We don't know where some of these guys, even though they're committed right now, right, some of these big name players could end up flipping between now and Wednesday, right? I mean, there's a five-star quarterback, Dante Moore from Michigan, who is committed to Oregon. We'll see if that sticks. I think it will stick, but, you know, he's an example. It's hard to know where things stand because the transfer portal is a bigger deal right now than signing day in terms of what we're going to see next year. The guys that are in the portal are much more likely to have an immediate impact, especially the quarterbacks, obviously. I think the Pac-12 is going to do pretty well on signing day compared to what it's done in the past in terms of keeping West Coast kids at home. It's not going to be perfect, but we're also seeing the trend of blue chip West Coast guys that left the conference and signed in the SEC, signed in the Big Ten 3 or 4 years ago. They're using the transfer portal to come back home. Mm-hmm. And so that it's kind of gives the Pac-12 a mulligan on some of the blue chip players that didn't sign a few years ago. You decide, you know what, it's not working out for me here in Alabama or Ohio. I'm going to go home. I'm going to hit the transfer portal and I'm going to go back to playing in Arizona or California. So it's the portal kind of, it taketh away, but it also giveth.
Speaking of giveth, how much of this flipping has to do with name, image, likeness dollars? So let's just
get out the
portal. Yeah, I mean, it's just, okay, the portal's one thing, but in the next 48 hours, are we going to see bidding wars happen, John, that we anticipated when name, image, likeness started? And we're going to see some five-star guys that look all done, signed, sealed, and delivered. And all of a sudden, I think I'm moving because a box of money showed up.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that is really what's going on right now. I think that a lot of the reports you see about these million-dollar deals are inflated, right? The NIL collectives, the agents of the players, they all inflate the money to make their case, make themselves look better. But certainly NIL is playing a big role in some of the guys. It'll play a big role with the high school players deciding what college. It'll play a huge role with the transfer portal. There's no doubt it is ever present right now. And these last 48 hours before signing day will basically be the time for the NIL to have your final bids. Okay, well, give it to me. Give me your best offer right now. And then that will impact some things for sure.
Okay, and one last question on this, and I'm just trying to clear things up. This is more housekeeping. So my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, we have the signing period on Wednesday. We're going to have the signing, and the transfer portal is open until mid-January. Then on first Tuesday in February, we're going to have another signing period.
Yep.
And then we're going to have spring football.
Yep.
And then my understanding is there's another transfer period after spring football that'll be around the first week in May. Correct?
That is correct. Yes. There's a 2-week window in May. Basically, it gives players a chance to go through spring and then reevaluate. I think that's a good thing for the players, especially when you're dealing with the guys that are at schools that have had coaching changes, right? That the whole calendar is screwed up now with coaching changes, transfer portal, early signing. And to me, that window in May works for both the schools and the players. Schools can evaluate kids in spring ball. You may want to consider moving on. You're not going to play here. Players can assess their options. And that's also after all the NFL draft stuff has settled, right? NFL draft declaration deadline basically coincides with the close of the transfer window in January. It's like the 15th or 16th. Both of those things happen. That second window in May is basically a way to do your final cleanup for both the players and the schools. But it does mean there's going to be more roster turnover, in 5 or 6 months.
So for fans, they can't really say definitively about anything until around May 20th, what they have to do.
Yes, that's correct. No, and we've seen there have been cases where, that spring. Now, the transfer portal had been open basically 24/7. But we've seen cases where decisions, post-spring decisions have helped schools. Now, the quarterback position is probably going to get settled at most places beforehand, during this next month. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly going to be instances in May where you see guys' rosters change and impact players moving from one school to another.
Yeah, and you're also going to have the street agent off to the side between January 1 and May 20 negotiating deals on the side.
Yes.
And a kid's going to say, man, this coach is yelling at me all the time. And the parent's going to say, well, you're being disrespected. And this guy over here is saying, man, we're not going to disrespect you over here. We're going to pay you X.
Right.
I'm not John. I'm not overstating this, am I?
No, you're not. I mean, there's a lot of under the table. A lot of what used to happen under the table is now over the table, but there's still under the table stuff going on. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And the other piece of this is with the turnovers, you know, the NFL coaching cycle could impact, you know, have domino effects on colleges, right? It takes one NFL team to hire a coordinator or a head coach, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden that can ripple through three or four colleges that are hiring, you know, and coaches from below moving up, and that affects kids. And so that's another reason that having the transfer portal in May is helpful.
John Woolner with us for a couple of minutes. Before I get you out of here, let's flip the script over to basketball. And I'm very much looking forward to the University of Arizona against Arizona State. Usually this game is a jack stomp blowout, but it's going to be on New Year's Eve day between the Sun Devils and the Wildcats. What do you make out of the job that Bobby Hurley is doing down here with five transfers, just throwing it together and seeing it play as it's played out now at 11-1?
Yeah, that Texas Southern loss makes no sense now, right? I mean, you know, everybody has a bad game, but boy, it'd be something if ASU was undefeated. My only wish is that that game were going to be played at like 9 o'clock at night on New Year's Eve. That would be a lot of fun. But look, ASU's doing great. It seems to me like Hurley went through basically two seasons where one, they had, they were impacted by COVID, but also he just didn't have the chemistry right.
Correct.
And it feels like he has kind of learned from that experience, and the current players that he's brought in just fit better with what he's got. And so they're all on the same page, functioning together, both in the locker room and on the court. And, you know, the fact is he's got them rolling, and it's a nice mix of players that also play the way he wants to play, right? He is fitting square pegs into square holes.
Yeah, and he's, you know, they're playing defense for him, yep. and they're not making the boneheaded decisions. There's still some shot selection stuff I'm not crazy about. You know, and as I watch them as they grow, it isn't a team. You know, when Josh Christopher was here, he had one toe here, and he had the other nine yeah. going to the NBA. Bagley, I think, pretty much the same thing, and then there was an injury thrown in on top of that. So those were culture fits that didn't work here. And
right.
They moved on. I think in the case of U of A, you know, Sean Miller gets off on the investigation. Sean did leave the cupboard pretty darn full. If we're being straight honest and cutting through all the nonsense, like, he's inherited a pretty good situation there. Whether yeah. I like what happened with Sean or don't like, that has nothing to do with the fact that he's got it rolling down there.
Oh, absolutely. There was plenty of talent. And he's also done a good job bringing in talent, too, and using the transfer portal. It'll be interesting to me, you know, Arizona now a little bit more front court centric than last year when they had Mathurin, right? So we'll see how they do. I think it makes for a great contrast with ASU in terms of styles and personnels, right? How's ASU going to deal with Arizona's front court? How's Arizona going to deal with ASU's perimeter? Really interesting dynamic there. And longer term, you know, I wonder the same thing about Arizona that I did last year, right? Get to the NCAA tournament. How is Arizona going to be able to defend, right? Because there's a lot of teams out there that are like, play the way an ASU plays or the way Houston played, and are going to force Arizona to defend that perimeter. And if that happens, can Arizona use its size advantage against these perimeter-oriented teams? So we'll see how it plays out.
That's a good way to put it. I'll let you go off that. In all honesty, it's been great being with you this year. It's been a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing you in 2023. John,
yeah, it's been fantastic. Thanks for doing this, Brad. Appreciate it.
There's John Woolner, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, the Dukes are up. It is on this week. It's Corona del Sol with Jody Jackson's son, and it's Castile with my son, Cole. It's his senior night, so I'm going to be bawling my eyes out when I see Jay at the game on Thursday because it's going by like a flash. Jody is at Cronkite because she – what are you teaching at Cronkite?
I teach JMC 220, which is broadcast voice and delivery.
Ooh.
Which no does not mean, you know, that I have the most fantastic voice ever, but there's a lot of techniques and things about taking your time, slowing down, how to deliver live shots, anchoring, all that good stuff that you do all the time from mm-hmm. you remember too, back when you were radio, TV, you know, sometimes it's a little more stressful than from our homes these days, but especially when they're young. So I'm here and I teach it on Tuesday mornings.
Do you tell anybody your voice is not going to work? You better get out, get into selling insurance, something.
I really do not, unless there's a major, major, major problem, in which case I still would not say that. I really wouldn't, because I've seen crazier things, to be honest with you. But if they need someone with more expertise than myself, like a speech therapist, then I do recommend that, because that is something I am not. But most of the kids that I have had just things where they can just tweak it and get to where they need to be on the air.
Are you critiquing my voice? Is there anything I need to change? Because I had somebody in high school that told me, don't do broadcast. Your voice is too squeaky and you're playing. Why would you want to go into broadcast? And thankfully, I didn't listen to them. Is there anything I need to change?
You can't, to me, why shatter someone's dream, especially when I have seen people get on the air. Brad, your voice is just fine, number one. And you know, you and I, being in this business a long time, have the gift of something that comes with experience, which is acting natural and talking in a natural tone. So the hard part is, you know, telling young people who want to hang on to a script and who want to sound kind of anchory, but like, we don't really want that. Right. But like, I understand you kind of have to go through that to maybe get out to the other side of it.
When I hear the play-by-play person that wants to tell you how great the game is, it's just, they just need raps, right?
Yeah. And I think sometimes young people, they think they want that, you know, persona. And I said, you know, number one is also be yourself. Just be who you are.
Sure. So. I love it when I see you and hear about you being out, being a high school mom. You and I have talked about this through the years as you've gotten together with me, the gift of gab that you have, but you're enjoying being a mom, but you're a mom of a quarterback. So now that you've gone through a varsity season with mom as quarterback, how have you handled it, Jody? Have you had moments of like, the person behind me, I'm going to smack them, or this message board, you are so far wrong, I'm going to come after you? Have you had some of those moments?
Well, you know, this is Connor's second year, actually starting as a sophomore and starting, pretty much all season. And then this year, I mean, I'm just proud of him. I think he's done well. I mean, honestly, you know, I'm kind of that cynical media person where I'm like, all right, show me, you know? And so he's done an incredible job. And I am very loud. Like when we're on defense and everything, I'm just that fan. And I'm always yelling for all the kids. I mean, I'm really yelling for all the kids all the time. I do. I'm that yelling mom. Yeah. But thankfully, it's mostly been positive. I mean, you know, last year as a 15-year-old starting on varsity, and yes, there were some struggles, I think, early on, but he's handled it great. So it's been nothing but enjoyable. So
is your house the house where all the kids come over?
It kind of is at times. Yeah. And then my friend, you know, my daughter's a freshman too, so she's got some friends that live close to the school, so they'll go there sometimes. They'll go walk over there and, but it is a fun, we have food and you know how important that is. But if we don't have food, the other day, I'll tell you a funny story. Some of the boys came over on the Wednesday, so the week before they had had, they ordered pizza and the pizza was there and we had just chips and stuff. And so then I was there unknowingly, these boys just come walking in the door and they're like, is there pizza today? I was like, I mean, I can order some, but, and they were like, oh, they came and sat down. They're like, and then they walked back out. And I was like, man, I better have the pizza.
Short, you know, cook.
Right on time.
Yeah. They're going to say, you know, Connor's mom did not have it together. What is going on?
Yeah. But you know, this with the boys, it's so much fun and seeing, and some of them, it's not just the ones they've played together since they were 6 years old on the flag team. It's not just those kids, but it's those kids. It's the kids that you meet at freshman year, maybe kids that joined sophomore year. And we have such a great group, and I'm sure that you guys do over at Castile also. I'm sure all these high schools do. It's such a neat thing. And it's really unique because my husband posts this as a guy who's coached kids for a long time. It's like high school football is the one thing you can never get back. Yep. You know, you can go play a pickup basketball game. You can play tennis. You can go play soccer. Maybe you can go play softball in an adult league. you can't just go play football later in life.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. And this is so much fun for these guys. And some of them won't play. Most won't play after high school. So it's, you kind of watch them as a parent. You're like, this is so neat to see how they band together.
Yeah, I'm emceeing Battle of Arizona Avenue later today. It's the ninth year I've done this, and it's Chandler against Hamilton. They each bring five kids, and it's at a Rotary, and there's about 200 business people, and these boys show up with their clip-on ties, which is fine, or some of them need help tying their ties, which is fine. And I tell them, you know, this is as good as it gets. Yeah, you may play them in the playoffs again, but nobody has something put together like this for the 10 of you kids that are here today. And
yeah, it's really unique, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, fun. Is your son getting recruited?
You know, we've been talking to some schools. He's been talking to them, I should say. He has not had any offers as of yet, but I feel like that will come based on the performance. He's definitely had a great performance this season. He's almost at 2,000 yards passing, 20 touchdowns or so, 21 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, you just watch him. I think he's really capable of operating an offense. So I think, you know, again, Brad, even though you think I would be the expert at this, honestly, my husband and my son handle, you know, Connor handles a lot of it, emailing. He emails the coaches every week. And I have not really been all that involved with it, to be honest with you. So,
but you know, that's cool. I get it.
Yeah, so I'm confident that, you know, he would like to play, of course, at the next level somewhere, somehow. And I feel like that will happen for him. He's a junior, so, you know, I think he's still got a little bit of time. But I think it's also a case of that process of getting noticed or having, you know, people take notice of what you're doing. And, but right now it's all about, you know, the bottom line is, and this is true, is just winning the games, getting to the playoffs.
Right.
Where they land. So
is he, are you as a family, and if this is too personal, just tell me, are you as a family fine wherever he goes, or are you, if he doesn't go Power Five, you know, we're, something's wrong?
Cause to be honest, we're just looking, when you're in that position and trying to, you know, I look at him and the way he's engaging with all these schools. We went to visit some schools over the summer, and I think he's looking at everything out there. So no, there's nothing wrong with any of these, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with any of these schools. I mean, I want him, of course, to get that great education.
Yep.
and do what he wants to do in life, which he's, you know, starting, he's taking the college prep class. So he's looking closer at that. And, you know, he's doing all those things to be ready to take, you know, get those test scores and do all those things. So certainly, no, everything's on the table, and everything's, you know, I think he'd be excited about anything coming his way.
I'm asking questions because a lot of the audience that is going to watch this, or that I found through the years, a mom of a quarterback in high school can sometimes just not know what to do, how to go about it. And you're right in the middle of the mix. And I would say you are the 1/100th of 1% of just normal.
It's not a red wave. Ooh. Something went wrong. So that's part of why.
Can you end this?
So
I hope.
To remind people.
This is a Cronkite. This is live.
Open the. They just put on the TV.
Oh, did they kill it? Did you go over and smack them? It's live. It's fine. You know, stuff happens. No, but I guess what I'm wondering is.
I can't really move for you. Sorry.
It's okay. Did you have other moms that you've spoke to about this, or are you just going through the process? One and two, let's be honest, you're a split household. You're a hurricane, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And
hurricane. I'm owning that, even though there were high hopes.
Awful this year. Man.
Well, you know, you get closer and closer to the college level, and you see people, you know, you see their kids go off, and you see which ones are successful and which ones maybe are not. And you know, so honestly, I haven't talked to a lot of parents. I'm starting to do that. And talk about success stories. So but why not talk to people that have had successful kids?
Sure.
Carrie Purdy, and I know you know that family well, Sean Purdy, who's also a hurricane. But we recently were at a wedding, actually, and we got to talk to each other a little bit more. And, you know, it's just interesting to hear their take and their side of things. And I can't think of, you know, when you think about Brock and Chuba and how they went through their process and how they just went through high school, staying the course, committed, working hard, focused on what they want. And I think listening to them just talk was kind of reassuring that, you know, you just keep working, you just keep at it. And obviously they've got a lot going on in the side of successful football. When you think of Brock with the 49ers now and Chuba at Nebraska. So that's just one couple that I can think of that Chad and I have had the chance to talk to, but you know, there have been a lot of other parents that have kids in other sports and different things. And, you know, you just realize it feels like this big unknown world. And then the more you talk to people, I think it's just a little more reassuring that, you know, it's just like anything. You don't just look at the mountain and say, oh my God, how do I tackle that? You kind of just chip away, you talk to people, and it's really something that, becomes much more like get your mind around it a little better.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff on the Purdy's. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kurt Warner, and there's people that you could reach out to within your world of quarterbacks, but you're just enjoying
it. I talked to Kurt a little bit this year too. And boy, I mean, again, his kids are doing great. And EJ, you know, didn't have a ton of interest. I mean, I guess I don't really know how much interest he had coming out of Brophy, but like, he's putting up really good numbers at Temple, and he knew he could operate an offense, and he knew he could make good decisions and deliver the ball, you know, and those things don't wane. Those things are, you know, when you have that ability, and it's with Kurt, it's always a mental game because he's seen some of the things, you know. I wanted, actually, right before he started his NFL Network duties, there was a chance maybe they could work together. He was working with some local quarterbacks, and I kind of just missed that window. And I think it's also cool, just to be honest, is like Connor loved him when he was Connor was little, really, right. Really little, and he would walk around going, "Kurt Warner, Kurt Warner," you could, and
that's good.
Had the jersey, the Super Bowl jersey that I brought him back from Tampa, you know, the whole thing. And so it's like, I think that would be kind of neat, just. But he's big on the mental game, and until, you know, he doesn't know till he would work with Connor, but Connor to me has that. So that's something that, you know, physically you have to have the physical tools, but you have to have the mental tools as well. So, and I think that's what his kids are showing right now, is that, you know, as a quarterback, especially EJ, you know, that's something you really have to have. And if you're special in that category, it will show.
A couple of things to get you out of here, and one more on your son, and that is the space of quarterback coaches, gurus, training on Saturdays. Have you guys gone down that space, and what have you learned? What advice would you give to people that are in that space of finding a quarterback coach to go work with your son, or is it just dad and son?
Well, my husband, being an O lineman, wasn't, you know, really the quarterback guru per se, although. As you know, a guy who played center, they know a lot about what happens in an offense, and they know good quarterbacking when they see it. But he's been working with Mike Giovando for many years, since he was little, maybe nine. But we all know a lot of guys in town that work with, you know, Dan Minucci. Mm-hmm. Works with quarterbacks. I'm leaving out a ton of people. There's probably
Rudy Carpenter does work.
Donovan McNabb is the guy that Connor worked with a little bit. You know, he enjoys hearing different things, different ways you can play the position. So we've been real happy with what Gio has done. There's a camaraderie there with the guys in town. I think Connor enjoys that too. These players that are out there on Friday nights, and then they come together on a Sunday and they get to talk about different things. And all these kids are, you know, now juniors and seniors. So it's a lot of fun also. But yeah, I think just parents can know these guys are out here. Arizona has a lot of different guys that have had successful, whether it's coaching or been a quarterback themselves. So you just got to find that right fit, who you like as a parent.
Are you good on time? I can keep going. I'm good, but I want to get to two other things before you have to go. Do you have to go, or are you good?
No, I'm good right now, I think.
All right. Well, let's keep going. The Coyotes. What do you make of the mullet? What do you make of the arena so far?
I really like the mullet. I think it's really unique. Obviously, again, when they say no bad seat, it's true, no bad seat. When I first got there, it was almost kind of weird. It was like, oh, wow, I'm going to be just driving down. It's more than down the street, but it had this real homey atmosphere. I'm like, wow, this is where we'll be coming for the next few years for all the home games. So I really have enjoyed it, and it is very loud when the Coyotes are, or, you know, obviously you have another team in there. Like when the Rangers were in, it was let's go Coyotes, let's go Rangers. It was kind of crazy, but that the players really enjoy that energy, and they miss that. As much as Gila River Arena was a fine NHL arena, and there were some great moments there over the years, and it was an NHL arena, and this, you know, this is something that's a college arena. So there are challenges, but the players really love that energy of the fans being into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they've been wanting and haven't had a lot of it over the years, just because it's been such a big arena that, you know, Gila River's seating 19,000 people. So,
right. When the Red Wings come to town and the Blackhawks come to town, it's going to be a Blackhawk or Red Wing home game, right? Or did you find with the Rangers, it really wasn't that bad? I've been to the Mullet for an ASU game, and I really liked it. Really, really liked it. Easy to get in, easy to park, found a seat, great seat. Food's right there. Get in, get out. I'm happy. But when these
get out, really, I was the first day. I was like, oh, wow, this place clears out quick when you're talking about, you know, 4,800 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Ranger fans were loud. You know, again, there's teams that, and it's the same with every team in town, right? That's just the market we live in. I'm from Miami. It was the same way in Miami. You live in a dynamic city. You have a lot of people coming in. So, yeah, I mean, there's always an amount of Coyotes fans, you know, and we know that they're passionate. So it's always kind of a back and forth. Now, the other night when they played the Panthers, it was really all filled. I did not see any Panthers fans. I mean, I'm sure there were some, but me, I grew up a Panthers fan because that's where I'm from.
That's where you're from.
Hockey I saw live, but yeah, I mean, when it's not one of those sort of iconic teams where you get that big fan base, it's very much all for the Coyotes, which is nice.
Over on the Diamondback side, because of course at Bally Sports, you do the pre and the post and you're in there reporting during the games as well. Is anything with the Diamondbacks either that you saw during the season? I ended up being optimistic. I'll be interested to see just how far they do go in this offseason in terms of chips on the table or continuing the slow rebuild. I'm a fan of Torrey's. Where are you at on the baseball team?
Yeah, I'm excited for what they can do. Of course, they need to add some pieces. It'd be nice to see them add a little bit of offense. I know there were some comments Monday, you know, early this week with Mike Hazen. And frankly, I haven't really read all of those yet. Yeah. I think Nick Pecoro had caught up with him. I'm not sure if others had as well as they prepare for the winter meetings and all of that. So I know philosophically, though, talking to Mike Hazen in his final end of season press conference, the bullpen was number one. Yeah. Not easy to fix, though, because, again, every year you're piecing together with, you know, Edwin Diaz getting $100 million. That's not normal. It's not, you know, expected, because bullpen pieces, frankly, they do. There's only like a handful of elite guys. It's really hard. Most of them have ebb and flow, right? Baseball players in general, there's so many games, there's ebb and flow, but you don't really see a reliever. We haven't lately, Chapman before Diaz, but you know, that's not really realistic to spend that type of money, but you have to, again, they'll be tested on how smart they are going to be patching together a bullpen with some veteran guys, maybe some new guys. They would like to cultivate guys in the program, you know, develop those guys. Sure. That's the goal. And they've been clear about that more than ever, but that takes time. So, and then adding a bat, they have so many lefties. So adding a right-handed bat. So I think that those will be the things that they need to go out and do, but you know, we'll see if these young pitchers can hold up. There's always some bumps in the road, but what we saw at the end of last year was, I think, much better than anyone expected with Dre Jameson, Ryan Nelson, and Tommy Henry was up and down, but Tommy Henry looks pretty promising. So
I will see you Thursday. I will walk on the field with Chris and Cole, and then I will just be a blubbering mess, and then I'll come find you. Or you can be over there laughing at me trying to...
I do the announcing for senior night at Corona the last few years, And it always amazes me how quickly it does go by. And then to think of myself out there next year. Yes. So I don't know what you're going to feel, but I can only imagine. And especially Cole being your youngest, you're going to be a mess. I'll bring the Kleenex for you.
That is fine of you. That is nice of you. Sneak me a glass of wine in the parking lot or something. So what are you teaching today? What is on the agenda in this class before I get you out of here? People want to know, what is it today Jody Jackson is going to tell her class at Cronkite?
Action-packed class today. We're going to go over articulation.
Articulation.
Articulation, yes.
Roll your lip.
We have a jam-packed class because we're going to cover articulation and the start of live shots.
Oh, fun.
I love live shots because
anything can happen.
It's the best. That's the key is, you know, how do you describe what's going on in a scene, right? In a moment.
Yes, that's fun. I will let you go off that. I appreciate your time from Cronkite, and I will see you Thursday. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Brad. Enjoy it.
There is Jody Jackson, the professor. Actually, Paula's the professor when she comes on the show. I will just call Jody Jackson from Bally Sports, Arizona. And we're back with more after this timeout.